You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health as well as New England College. And this segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. For more information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsors of New Hampshire primary interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program. And interviews on the campaign trail presented by New Futures. Advocate is a verb. For information, check out new-futures.org. Paul Steinhauser, myself, caught up with Beto O'Rourke yesterday at Gibson's here in Concord.
Joined by Beto O'Rourke here in Concord at Gibson's. He makes his second stop here in New Hampshire and in Concord as well. And I'm curious as to your assessment as to where your campaign is at this point in time. Huge amount of attention coming into things. What is your sense of where you are in this race?
I feel really good. We were just sharing earlier today that I believe we visited more cities, held more town halls, answered more questions. I think just under 600 questions answered at events, just like we did at this one. So I'm getting a very strong sense of what's important to people, both in the questions asked about healthcare, about funding for public education, about the environment, about a woman's right to make her own decisions about her own body. But then in the one-on-one question, someone came up and said, look, I really want to make sure that under your administration, the EPA does something about the PFAS that's in our water here in New Hampshire. I had a chance to meet with Senator Sherman earlier today, who gave me a great lesson on the consequences of firefighting foam and the nonstick chemicals put on pots and pans that is now in our water system right now, and that we need real federal help and assistance and support to get that done. Wouldn't have known that if I hadn't shown up in New Hampshire. I think that makes me a better candidate, and I know it will make me a better servant in an administration that will focus on the challenges and the opportunities here in New Hampshire.
Huge amount of attention early on when you got into the race. It seems like attention has waned a little bit, as it does during the course of a campaign. How do you get to the point where you're consistently amongst, you know, Biden and Bernie in the polls, and what's the strategy for doing that?
You know, I just am not concerned about, nor am I following the polls. You may know that throughout the Senate campaign, we never hired a pollster or participated in a focus group or tested anything that I said or anywhere that I went. So as long as I get the chance to do this at Gibson's Bookstore, answer questions, be with people, connect eyeball to eyeball, I'm good. And I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which is not just introducing myself, showing up with the courage of my convictions, but listening and learning from those whom I hope to serve. So I feel really good about things. And we're still, you know, roughly 10 months out from the first votes being cast. And that's a lot of time, a lot of miles, a lot of hours, a lot of town halls, a lot of questions. And I'm up for it, and I'm looking forward to it.
You raised a good amount of money in that first 18 days of your campaign, $9.4 million, most of it for the general, for the primary. A, can you keep that pace up in the second quarter? And B, now that you have a good amount of money, how are you going to be spending it? Staffing up in the early states? What else?
Yeah, some really good signs. Every dime we raised came from human beings. No PACs, no special interests, no corporations. And we also are not accepting money from lobbyists. Most of that money came from first-time donors. So though we raised more than any Senate campaign in United States history last year and in 2017, most of the donors had not given to that campaign. 98% of them gave under $200, and 99% of it came online. That bodes well because it means that there are more people who have given to us before who can give for the first time in this race or who can give additional amounts. So I think that speaks to our ability for capacity and pace. And then we will use that money doing just what we're doing here, ensuring that we have the ability to show up everywhere in every part of every state that we go to listen to those that we want to serve and represent, to also hire the organizers who make the most out of volunteer effort in New Hampshire, in the other states in which we're going to be competing, and connecting me with the voters that I want to serve.
I want to ask you a little about the passion that drives you, because that's one thing that I've seen consistently from you, both from afar in Texas during the Senate campaign and here in New Hampshire as well. You run the type of campaign that we see consistently do well, whether it was Kasich or John McCain in the past, where you have a tireless campaign schedule. What drives that passion, and what drives you to be out there with the energy and ferocity?
We get one shot to do this. and not just to run, but to serve this country and to confront and overcome these challenges. And we mentioned healthcare, education, immigration, perhaps the greatest of them all, climate. There are literally just 10 years left to us. If we don't get this right now, then forever after and for every generation that follows, we will have failed. So that intensity comes from that urgency. And knowing that I've got three kids at home, 12, 10, and 8 years old, we're sacrificing time together so that we can all do something for our country. Same kind of sacrifice that I see all over this state, people stepping up and serving in their way as well. So we're going to give it everything that we've got, because nothing short of the future of this country is at stake. And I think it requires everything from all of us. And I'm going to do my part.
Well, Chris and I both have young kids, so we hear where you're coming from on that. This race probably going to change in the next couple days. We're going to see Vice President Joe Biden. I think it's a pretty sure bet he'll be jumping in. How will that impact your campaign? And is he too old to run? Do you think he's too old to run?
You know what? I think that Vice President Biden has already demonstrated extraordinary public service to this country. I think he would be a great addition to an already outstanding field of Democratic contenders. He certainly brings something to the conversation, to the debates. I think our party, this country, which boasts the world's greatest democracy, has room enough for all these different ideas and people, lives lived and experiences brought to the table. So I think it'll be great for him to be in the race. And, here's how I come down on this. At the end of the day, by the end of next summer, we're all going to be behind the same nominee. And whoever she or he is, we're going to ensure that they can defeat Donald Trump, that they can bring this country together, and that they can be up to the challenge of this moment.
You talk a lot about policy, but one of the criticisms has been that there's not necessarily enough depth in regards to the policy. And I have a question in regards to that.
Yeah.
You have significant things that you want to accomplish, particularly in regards to climate change, where you talk about the urgency of that, universal pre-K.
Yeah.
How do you prioritize and how do you achieve these legislative priorities with a Senate and House that may be mixed with Republicans? And do you feel the need to have basically a list of a couple of things that you want to accomplish and need to accomplish early on?
So I think we can do everything that we need to do, whether that's ensuring that everyone can see a doctor, whether that's bringing these dreamers out of the shadows and making them U.S. citizens, whether it's universal pre-K or free community college, or confronting the challenge of climate change. This, the wealthiest and most powerful country on the face of the planet, has the capacity, has the resources. We just need to determine whether we have the political will. You could roll back the worst of the $2 trillion Trump tax cuts. You could end wars that have racked up trillions of dollars in debt. You could make investments in infrastructure, in drinking water, in education, and healthcare that will pay dividends. In other words, a return far greater than the initial investment, if only we can come together. And as I tried to lay out in my opening here at Gibson's today, when we passed an expansion of mental health care access for veterans, it was expensive, but we were able to get a unanimous vote out of Congress, 435-0, in the House to do this because we worked on a bipartisan basis to our common goals and from the best traditions of this country. I think we can do that for any challenge before us going forward.
Would a climate change bill be first for you, though?
I think confronting climate, given the fact that we only have 10 years within which to act, is paramount. So, day one, ensure that we're signed back up to the Paris Climate Agreements. Let's reinstitute the Clean Power Plan. Let's raise vehicle emission standards. Let's ensure that if it's the production tax credit or some other means to encourage investment in solar and wind, we do that. And then diplomatically, we've got to convene the other powers of this planet, because China's got four times the coal-fired plants that we do here in the United States. We're going to have to compel or convince other countries to do their part alongside with us, but it's got to start here in the U.S. And so, yes, that's paramount.
Beto, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us out. Appreciate it.
That is a conversation with Beto O'Rourke at Gibson's here in Concord. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health as well as New England College. New Hampshire Primary interviews on the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli and rathlaw.com, and interviews on the campaign trail presented by New Futures and new-futures.org.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.